Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3 is what we're looking at. We are all given a choice this morning. The choice is, are we going to allow our loving God to do what He wants to do in our lives, or are we going to avoid Him? Are we willing to let God have His way and His will in our situations and our schedules, or are we glad to just settle for knowing that there is a God and that He exists and that there might be a heaven waiting for us after we die? The choice is ours to make because our Savior desires nearness with us day by day, and His desire is that our lives actually be filled with Himself. Not that we just exist as people here until we die and enter into eternity, but that He actually does something in our hearts. I was struck a few weeks ago by a verse I read in Hebrews. It's Hebrews 13:3, which reads this way: "Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also." Now, just about every week we read about our fellow believers elsewhere in the world who are imprisoned and mistreated and are suffering greatly. It's something that, you know, I can hardly fathom in the life that I live here in the United States. And here in this text, we're commanded to think about them and pray with them and to set our minds as if we were chained with them for the sake of the gospel. And I kept thinking about the persecution that Christians face, and it's a terrible thing that believers elsewhere in the world are persecuted and suffer severe pains and injustice from those around them. You know, from my position of comfort and security, I sometimes wonder why God allows those things to happen to His people. It doesn't seem to make much sense to me. I wonder sometimes why we as Christians aren't protected from that suffering. But the more that I thought about it, the more I realized that being a prisoner is a huge theme in the Bible. It's really more expected than the life we live here in the West. You know, when you look at the Bible and you look at the life of the Christian and you look at, say, Saeed Musa in Pakistan, and then you look at our life here in the West, the one that makes more sense according to the pages of Scripture is his instead of ours. Throughout the Old and New Testaments, we see a lot of God's people taken captive and placed in a prison for one reason or another. And Jesus explained that the world was going to respond negatively to believers and the work that God does through them. It's a guaranteed thing. And so what's not normal is the way that we live, where we have very little friction with the society around us. Biblically speaking, there's more than just the reality of our world and its hatred of Christianity. There's more here in these examples for us to understand. The Bible shows us that God can do great things through the imprisonment of His people. As we see their examples, whether they were taken captive as a result of their own decisions, like Samson, or if they were innocent and put up in prison for other reasons, like Joseph, God comes to them and speaks to them and does something in their hearts and through their lives. They're really incredible things that we get all excited about. That's what we see in God's Word, and we see that work continuing today through persecuted believers in other parts of the world. I read a story yesterday of a lady named Esther Ann Kim. She was a Korean Christian who lived during World War II. When Japan occupied her country, she realized that she was going to eventually be incarcerated for her faith. She had determined that she was not going to bow down to the shrines that were being set up all around her neighborhood and her country by the Japanese invading force. Since she knew it was a matter of time before she was behind bars, she determined to prepare herself for it. She started eating a diet of rotten food, since that's what she would be eating in jail. She memorized over 100 chapters of the Bible, since she wouldn't be able to keep one with her. She committed many hymns to memory, so she would be able to sing to the Lord. She fasted and prayed and consecrated herself for what was coming ahead. Because if that was the road that God had set before her, she was going to be faithful to Him and embrace His will for her life. Now, sure enough, she eventually was arrested and she was sent to prison. She was there from 1939 until 1945. While inside, she experienced all those terrible things that she knew she was going to have to endure. But there, she was able to minister to other inmates who went from thieves and murderers and the outcasts of society to believers in Jesus Christ as she ministered to them and shared the gospel with them and showed love to them. Because of how God used this one woman, eternity is fuller with those who previously had no hope and who were lost without Christ. Because God allowed that suffering, eternities were changed and Esther was purified and transformed in a very incredible way. And that's a pretty amazing story to us. It's an inspiring story. It's true, but it's not exactly common to us in the time and place that we live. So how do we apply this sort of thinking and this sort of reality that we see in God's Word to our own lives? That's what we're really looking for. If God has spoken in His Word through these various examples of imprisoned people, how is my life supposed to be changed by it? Or are they just interesting stories that don't apply to people like us who live in a place like this? The Apostle Paul believed that they weren't just stories, but they were more than that. He saw an incredible amount of value in the imprisonment of God's people. If we start thinking about his various imprisonments and how he talked about them and how he talked from them in his letters, then we're going to get some insight into what this biblical theme means for us. Most famously, there are two passages we can focus on. I'll read them to you. First, Ephesians 4:1, where Paul says, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called." And then in 2 Timothy 1:8, Paul says to Timothy, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." And so Paul believed that his imprisonment was a result of God's will and his plan for his life. That was the road that the Lord had set before him. The chains that bound him weren't Roman. They were accessories of the life and the ministry that the Lord had called him to. And Paul explains to us that we should conduct ourselves, in one sense, as if we were prisoners of the Lord, and that we should embrace the sufferings of Christ for our own benefit, for the furtherance of the gospel. It's kind of an amazing thing to read from our vantage point where Paul says, yeah, you should embrace the sufferings of Christ. And these are very strange thoughts for us. I mean, we live in a very unique and unusual time and place when it comes to the history of Christianity and the history of how the world has treated Christians. But throughout the scriptures, it is made very clear that God is in control of every circumstance in our lives. And it's also made clear that God purposefully places his people in specific locations at specific times with specific gifts and opportunities so that he might glorify himself and minister to the people of the earth. But those places and opportunities aren't always pleasant. And that's why we need to lock into what happens when God's people suffer, and specifically what happens when God's people are imprisoned in the Bible. How do we respond? Because even though we enjoy great freedom and we enjoy great luxury here in the United States, not all of the circumstances and opportunities that the Lord brings to our lives are going to be pleasant or comfortable. A good example of this is Esther chapter 4. Mordecai says to Esther, "If you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" The deal is that God wants to do something special and unique through each of our lives. However, he is not dependent on us. God is not hamstrung by my disobedience, but he can do whatever he wants. However, his desire is to scatter believers throughout time in order to accomplish specific things through them, to accomplish his will through them. But it requires a willing sacrifice on our part and a willingness to share in the suffering of Christ if we want to be people that God uses and people that are matured and people that are filled up by the Lord. Philippians 3:8, we saw this a few weeks ago. Paul said, "Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." And so that is the Christian life. What we generally experience here in the United States isn't very typical. Instead, Paul says, you know, I'm losing all things so that I can know Christ. And I'm embracing the sufferings of Christ and embracing the life that he's set before me so that I can understand the power of the resurrection and so that I can be conformed to the image of his son, so that I can, you know, just embrace what the Lord is really offering to me. And so we need to start seeing our lives as Paul did, as prisoners of the Lord. That's how he saw his life, captive to his will and to his plan. You know, we should be Psalm 23 Christians who are confident and content in God's leading in our lives, whether he's brought us to a green pasture or whether he's bringing us through the valley of the shadow of death. What happens, though, is that we sometimes find ourselves in some situation that is not comfortable. And our first thought, since we're not really used to that, and since we're human, our first thought is to escape it. How do I escape this area of discomfort that is before me? Whether it's a trial or a storm or a difficult relationship or whatever else, we sometimes get to the place God has brought us, and if we don't like it, we immediately start looking for a way to tunnel out of it so that we don't have to deal anymore. Because after all, doesn't the Lord just want me to be comfortable all the time and successful all the time and not bothered all the time? But biblical Christianity isn't about the pursuit of comfort or wealth or stability or those sorts of things that we sometimes equate with regular living here in our lives. Not at all. Instead, biblical Christianity is about the pursuit of God. And God has explained to us that suffering is going to be a part of the work that he wants to do in us. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's very cut and dry. It's very simple. What we need to understand is that we have a natural bent to try to escape these parts of our relationship with God. We immediately want to escape struggle or difficulty or discomfort. But those things are the normal byproduct of godly living. And on top of that, God allows those things so that he can accomplish his will in us in incredible ways, so that we can be purified and glorified and illuminated in him. And so what we're going to do for the next couple of weeks is to take a few passages where God's people were imprisoned and see what the Lord said to them and did through them. That's not the only way that God's people suffered in the Bible, but it's a nice concrete way of looking and seeing that if Paul says, hey, I'm the prisoner of the Lord and my life before him is whatever he wants me to be because I'm chained to him. I am captivated by him. And the Lord is not a cruel warden or taskmaster, but Paul was like, yeah, I'm his prisoner. If he wants me to go here, I'll go there. If he wants me to die, you know, at the hand of Nero, then I will do that. So we're going to take a look at a few guys who were imprisoned and use that as a concrete example of what the Lord said to them and did through them and what that means for us. I want us to take a look at how God magnified himself through that suffering and how he shined through those lives. Because we need to understand that God has a will and a plan for our lives, and we need to be captivated in him. We should see our situations and our circumstances as belonging to Christ so that we're not always trying to find the most comfortable, the most frictionless life that we can. True Christianity includes suffering and persecution from the world. And so if we never experience trial or persecution or suffering or any of those things, then maybe we're, you know, in a long period of extended blessing from God, or maybe we're hiding our faith away from those around us more than we should be. Or maybe we're constantly trying to escape the confirmation of God. As the Lord seeks to purify out those imperfections, we might be resisting against that. If we're never experiencing any trial or struggle or anything like that, it's possible that we're running away from the plan that the Lord has set before us. And God has said that some of what he wants to do in us cannot be done outside the house of suffering. That is the path to a life of real value and real transformation and real godliness, according to the Scriptures. 2 Corinthians 1:7, Paul said, our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. We want what God wants, but we need to submit ourselves to it. And as we see a few examples of prisoners of the Lord, I believe that we will be brought nearer to God and more influenced by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So that's where we're going. A few weeks looking at those specific imprisonments and what that means for people like us who don't have to face incredible persecution and incredible suffering at this time, but how we can still see those situations and circumstances around us that may be uncomfortable and may be difficult are for our benefit, and how we submit ourselves to the Lord through them. Amen. Amen.